Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what? Later in the episode, I'm going to have a little discussion financially about this impact of the bomb, ceasefire, another bomb, more tariffs, all that kind of stuff. But really, what all this means to you. But now, the important thing is we're going to be talking about heartbreak to healing. According to U.S. Census, you know, in 2022, 7.1 people per thousand got divorced annually. I mean, that's like almost 3 million people a year. But it's dropped a little bit here in 2025 to 2.5 per thousand people. But you know what? Still 40 to 50 people's first marriages are ending in divorce. Your heart's broken. There's a lot of emotional turmoil and things you have to deal with. So how can you turn that divorce into growth opportunity for yourself? So we have a special guest here. We have Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby. She's a licensed family therapist, psychologist, best-selling author of Exaholics, Breaking Your Addiction to an Ex-Love, with over 120,000 monthly podcast downloads on love, happiness, and success. She offers expert advice on relationships, personal development, professional growth. Dr. Bobby, she's been featured on OprahDaily.com, New York Times, CNBC, Women's Health, Real Simple, making her, you know what, it's real simple. She's a trusted authority in media and all things love, design, and self-improvement. Lisa, thank you for being here today. We have so many people who are looking forward to this episode. I'm just really grateful that you're here.
Steve, thank you so much for the warm welcome. I could not be more excited to be here with you and your listeners today, because I know that this is such a challenging and confusing time. And people are really looking for guidance and support. I'm just so happy to share what I know with your crew.
Well, I appreciate that. I love how you call my crew.
Your crew.
I do appreciate all the people who share us with their friends and family. But you know what? It's really interesting why somebody does what they do. So, you know what? Why did Lisa Marie decide to go into psychology, help people grow, deal with thing as tough as divorce and the emotional content and all that stuff? So what got you going?
Yeah. Well, Steve, I suspect that you and I might share a very important core value, which is that of being of service to other people. And as I explored different career paths earlier in my 20s, really found that I wanted to contribute meaningfully in the lives of others and learned more about therapy, counseling, personal growth, and decided to devote myself to that career path. And early in the career of all therapists, there's a critical question, which is, what kind of therapist do I want to be? How do I create the most impact? And what I quickly discovered is that the one biggest predicting factor of how well people are in adulthood is the quality of their early life experience in their family of origin. And so for that reason, I decided to devote the bulk of my practice to marriage and family therapy and helping people have emotionally safe, healthy, healing relationships in their lives. And so that turned into a solo private practice. It wound up growing into a vibrant group private practice. And it also turned into an evolution of my own specialty into not just psychology, but evidence-based coaching psychology, where in addition to helping people heal, there's also a strong orientation towards growth, development, and finding the most direct path to achieve the outcomes that you want. So that's my story in a nutshell. So now in my practice, we're doing therapy and coaching, and I'm also doing a lot of training of therapists in coaching psychology these days. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very, very helpful because I was, you know, it's really interesting. I went to your website and I know you don't solicit reviews, but people put reviews there. And I saw some of them that says, you know, I've been to many, many therapists. And then, oh my God, here I am. I've been able to get somewhere and somebody gets us or gets me. And I would say that many of our viewers have said the same thing. They haven't been able to get somewhere and they're looking and searching for somebody to help them grow. Somebody that really can understand what's going on and really getting into the why.
Yes.
So I think that's wonderful. But let's get started towards talking about divorce. And one of the things I was thinking about, and you just said it, is people create their ability to relate, interact, communicate, emotional intelligence. And a lot of that happens, or even dealing with money, a lot of that happens when they're young. And that direct teacher has been mom and dad in the family. So if you're okay with it, I'd like to talk about how that develops somebody. And then let's talk about how some of that transitioned into, you know, their married life, what's happening with divorce, and the emotional impact of not only that, but getting divorced.
It's a lot to unpack, but I mean, it's very, very important. And I think there are a few things to understand. One of the most important being that every single family has a culture, meaning who are we? How do we do things? How do we operate? What are the core values, the core beliefs that guide our thinking, feeling, behaving, decision making, and that as children, we absorb all of that from our family of origin. And some of this is healthy and good long term. And there are also things that we can absorb from our families that do actually not serve us well as we move forward into adulthood. And so I think it benefits everyone to do an inventory of what did I learn from my family related to so many things, communication, how we give and receive love, what is my relationship with money, to think, does this serve me well or does it not? And if not, what do I want to do with this? So we are all forged in our families. And this can also contribute to a lot of conflict in relationships, particularly when people are obviously coming from two different places. And then sometimes getting into power struggles and relationships around whose way is the right way. And money can often be one of the flashpoints where those values and cultural expectations can emerge. But I think that the bigger picture here and why we're here today is also to talk about what happens when that container of a marriage is not sustainable and it turns into a divorce situation, particularly when there are kids involved. Because then we need to not just take care of ourselves and make healthy decisions for ourselves, but also be thinking about how is this life experience going to be impacting the long-term health, well-being, growth, development of the child that I'm responsible for. So there are many different things to be managing during times like these and can be very, very stressful and anxiety provoking for parents divorcing with kids.
One of the big things that our listeners have talked about is when they have to start sharing custody when mom and dad aren't living together anymore and the impact, one, on the child, and two, because of the emotional pain that people are going through, sometimes they use that child as a manipulation point. And that's, you know what, it's one of those things where how do you learn how to deal with that? You know, it's a big question everybody has, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself for what we're talking about, but that's one of those, like you said, flashpoints. So I was curious, is there, I know there's a, I want to get to more of the emotional, and I think that's part of it, but What are some of the other emotional things that people are dealing with?
There are so many emotional things. But if I may back up just a tiny bit, Steve, you bring up such a good point, which is that many times people who are experiencing life after the separation of a relationship or a divorce, something that is often so agonizing is the reality of sharing custody and having their now ex be running the show when it comes to the kids for periods of time. And this may not be appropriate to all of your listeners if the horse has left the barn, so to speak, and there is a divorce underway. But I do want to just share, if there's anybody who is in a difficult space in a relationship or a marriage, to slow all the way down. Because I think many times people can fantasize about how much better my life would be were I not in this relationship anymore, or this marriage. And it is also certainly true that sometimes marriages can't be saved. Sometimes they shouldn't be saved. But in my experience, people are often making a trade-off. They are saying, I don't want to deal with these relationship problems anymore, and divorce is the solution to that, not realizing that they are signing up for all kinds of different new problems when they do get divorced, related to things like custody, parenting, and the difficulties that can go along with that. And just as to educate your listeners, something that I am passionate about is that helping people understand that not all therapists are the same, not all therapy is the same, and that 99% of therapists out there offering couples counseling or marriage counseling do not actually have specialized training and experience in marriage and family therapy. So couples run into trouble. They decide appropriately to go to marriage counseling, and they unknowingly seek help from a provider who's practicing outside their scope. So this couple goes to couples counseling, it doesn't work, might even make things worse. And they walk away from that experience thinking, well, we've done everything. There is no hope for this relationship. We should, I guess, get divorced. Not understanding that if they had connected with a different type of provider, they may have had a different outcome. And so I just wanted to say this to people who are in trouble in a relationship, that it's really worth investing in the right kind of competent help and support in these moments, to do everything possible, particularly when there are kids involved, to see if it can be repaired, if there is a path forward. Because if there is, you will prevent all of these other problems from happening, and mm-hmm. you will get the outcome that you're really hoping for, which is a better relationship. Because most marriages don't end because people want the relationship to be over. They want the relationship to be better, and mm-hmm. they don't know how to do that. Yeah. So they end it. So it, just in case that helps anybody, I wanted to bring that into the conversation.
I love it how you answer everybody's questions in advance. I want to welcome Dr. Lisa Marie Bobbery. We've been talking about healing after divorce. We were just talking about all these things that affect people and their relationships. And then we're dealing with kids and divorce. And you know what? I think there's, you know, that emotional piece that goes on to that. And I think you had another comment. I cut you off, and I'd like you to share that comment because I think it's important.
Of course. Well, you were talking so insightfully about how difficult it is for people on the other side of divorce to deal with some of the fallout. So differences in parenting styles, or having a partner operating in a way that might be damaging to the well-being of children. And in a divorce situation, people often feel helpless or disempowered. How do I intercede? How do I create change in the situation when we're not even in a relationship anymore? And while on the one hand, I think that it is important to consider how, if you're considering divorce, on the other side of this, you will still be engaged with a partner who has the same limitations or patterns during the divorce that they did within the marriage. So, you know, nobody is surprised. So if you have a workaholic partner who is inconsistent in their parenting, or having a schedule that is very dependent on, you know, their needs rather than the needs of the kids. If that was happening when you were married, it's also going to be happening after you get divorced. But there is also opportunity to create growth and change by connecting with a highly competent marriage and family therapist who understands co-parenting dynamics, you might be able to forge a different kind of relationship with your ex that's really centered on how to co-parent effectively and how to mobilize their values around being a good parent, love for their children, cultivate an understanding of what the kids need. That can help them develop parenting competencies and a more positive relationship with their kids as a single parent. Mm-hmm. And so that is also an argument for having, as to the degree that you can, a divorce process that does not lead to a scorched earth situation where people can't even talk to each other anymore, that has just destroyed any relationship at all and created a highly adversarial situation. Because if you're able to maintain some of this, you might still have opportunities to say, hey, I'd love it if we could do a better job of working together to help little Jimmy get what he needs from both of us, because this is a difficult time for him. And I know that we both love him very much. So the goal of a divorce is to maintain, at the very least, that, if you can. And it's not always possible, but this is a broader conversation independent of divorce. But why it's so incredibly important for people to do some work to get clear about their values and the bigger picture purpose of their life and how that ties in to their career path and their relationship with money. Because it can be easy to over-index some things that we're not fully aware of, like why we're doing this, that can lead over the course of decades to outcomes that aren't ones that we would have chosen. And so by understanding yourself and what's most important, then you're better able to design long-term outcomes that are in alignment with your values.
That's wonderful. I heard this adage a long time ago, and I think it's very relevant with this. And the person says, you know, the things you do that other people don't see affect you later, and everybody sees it later. Mm-hmm. And we see this with people in the music industry, actors and all that stuff. Most people don't know half of them were homeless for, you know, a year or two, and they got their big break 10 years later. And everybody thinks it happened overnight, but the reality mm-hmm. it's 10 years later. And the same thing happens with people in the real world. You know what? They do certain things for a certain period of time and everything looks great, but then that all things mushrooms into a mess later on because, you know what, those things that you did before or didn't deal with before or didn't take care of before or didn't take the time to take care of things before. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That with everything that you're doing, you're planting seeds that will then grow and bloom maybe decades later. But mm-hmm. and it can be difficult to understand how what you're doing in the moment sometimes may grow.
Okay, so let's start talking about a little bit more the magnitude of the emotional impact of divorce, making split decisions, whether it be financially or personally, and just how, you know, slowing that impulse. You know what? It's one of those things as a financial practitioner, we say, you know what, you just lost your spouse. Your relationship that you had before has now gone through a death. And now you need to figure out your new life. So you know what, I'm going to give you all the advice in the world, but you're not going to make any changes for at least 6 months and maybe longer. We'll make sure you have the income and all that kind of stuff. But you know what, no big changes. That's what I say. It doesn't always work because I got to do what people say. But you know what? I would love for your thoughts on, you know what, hey, the magnitude of the emotional impact and what that does to people and why it makes sense to take your time and not make, you know, split emotional trigger decisions.
Excellent advice, Stephen. I'm so glad that you're counseling people to do that, because you're absolutely right. Do not make any major long-term life decisions that are not absolutely necessary in the short-term moments like these, because particularly with relationship loss like death, but I think it can even be more intense with a divorce situation, is that we actually exist for a period of time in an altered state of consciousness that is very different than how we usually think, feel, and behave. And so one of the things that's so interesting about the nature of love is that our attachment bonds, they are not just psychological. They are not just emotional. They are actually biological.
That's perfect, folks. Stick with us. You're going to want to stay right here. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve and Lisa Marie Bobby.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sunlight, so you have a happy, healthy relationship. Again, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information on Saving with Steve, check out our YouTube, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, and AMFM 247. All the networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Now, one of the things that's really, really, really important is we're talking with Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby. We're talking about the divorce, the emotional content, and she just talked about the altered stage of your brain when you're going through this. And I'm just like kind of going, oh my God, that's what Joe is doing. That's what so-and-so is doing. And the anger, the quick decisions, how people talk mentally to themselves about how they've got to fix things. And they go into this, into that, and all that stuff. And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now the big thing is there's some steps that how to help, you know, how to get the help. What are the steps to working through this? Because like you said, it's going to probably take somebody about a good year till they get out of that conscious brain, because I can see the self-doubt, the I'm not good enough, all that kind of stuff, the begging that goes to the ex-spouse. Because I talked to somebody that's 4 years out of divorce, and prelude for this, and she goes, yeah, you know, I spent the first 2 years trying to get undivorced. Yeah. And I realized, what the heck was I doing? And I finally, like, really, she goes, and I made so many dumb decisions during that time. So she's obviously in the subconscious brain there. So please share that with us.
it's so good. And I'm happy to, because I think the reality is that most people going through this don't even know what the process is that they need to move through in order to successfully do this work and on the other side of it. And I'll just tell you, therapists don't know either. So my professional training, I'm dually licensed as a psychologist, a marriage and family therapist, and zero things in my professional training specifically addressed attachment and relationship loss. And so for, I'm embarrassed to say, but for a number of years, I had people coming in, going through breakups, divorces, seeking my help through psychotherapy, and did everything within my power using conventional methods in order to assist them. And they stayed stuck. We talked about the relationship over and over. We talked about patterns. We certainly did grieving, but it did not really move the needle. And I did not like this. I went back into the literature, research, actually went into biology, believe it or not, as well as psychology, the nature of attachment, and spent a lot of time developing a new model that turned into a book, Exaholics, Breaking Your Addiction to an Exile. But actually, that book was even the first iteration of this research. That was 10 years ago. It's developed substantially since then. And it turns out, Steve, that there are actually 9 discrete stages of healing. And it is also important to do the work of each one fully, because if you don't, you will get stuck and you won't be able to move on to the next. So for example, the one that we were just talking about in this like altered state of consciousness is just stage one of this. It is the withdrawal stage of relationship loss, where your survival drive is screaming and everything in you is like clamoring to either reconnect with an ex or that you feel like you're in a lot of danger. And it's very important to be able to know what's happening and come back down on a physiological level so that you have the ability to reconnect with part of your thinking brain to do the work of stage two, which is relationship clarity. It sounds insane, but you would be shocked to know how many people are not with a partner anymore or getting divorced and still struggling with an enormous amount of ambivalence. Like, could we get back together? What if XYZ changed? And really need to do some very serious thinking around, is reunion possible? Because it's also true that sometimes people do break up, each does work, and then they get back together again. And if they do this well, the relationship can be better than ever. So, you know, to really do some exploration around whether that is possible, whether that is a good idea, and create that final clarity around, okay, if we did want to try this again, what would that look like? What is my action plan? How do I do this safely and effectively? Or if that is not possible, then it means that I need to start closing doors and creating closure. And then that would move somebody into the third stage where they begin to do that and set
boundaries.
Can
I ask a question first here?
Please. Yes.
A number of people, they were, got divorced or separated.
Yeah.
And they started working a little bit together. And one spouse says, you know what? I want to think about if I want to continue. Mm-hmm. And the other spouse just sat in purgatory, sometimes for months, only to have the other spouse say, hey, I don't want to move forward. So is that part of that stage two?
It can be, yes. And there's actually a very specialized type of relational work, again, that only a tiny percentage of even marriage and family therapists are trained in, called discernment counseling or discernment coaching. And the entire purpose of this is to help a couple determine whether or not there is the commitment to try to fix a relationship or not. And so the outcome of this is clarity one way or the other. But through a series of probably 6 sessions, you will have that clarity and somebody won't be in purgatory forever. That at the end of that, you will know my partner doesn't want to do this with me anymore. And that can be painful, but it's also a gift because then you can move on through the other stages of healing.
Yeah, people have been doing that for hundreds of years.
Yeah, in all kinds of ways, certainly. And so,
before we go on, I have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Shaving with Steve and Lisa Marie Bobby. I know you guys are all loving this, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Again, you can go to all the replays. Big thing is to check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, AMFM 247. These networks, they're wonderful. They're dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Again, check out our Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. And you know what? One of the big things here is this. We've been talking about this, the nine steps of getting through the emotional side of divorce and healing. And now we're on the grief portion, which is the number four one. We got five more to go, so stick with us. A lot more to happen here. But Lisa, thanks for being here. This has just been wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's really a joy to share what I know with your community, because these things are very important. Without this information, people are often just adrift, honestly, and they are also not... known in a lot of ways. And so just to speak briefly about the remaining steps, and then I also know that your community has specific questions that I'd be very happy to address during our time together, if that's possible. But an important part of the work is grief. But interestingly, that when people have grieved well, they will often then start coming into contact with other important dark emotions that grief can sometimes obscure: anger, regret, guilt, shame, so many different things. And the goal of this next stage of healing is certainly, you know, what do I do with all of this in order to be well? But also, how do we take wisdom from these dark emotions? What are these emotions telling me about what is important to me? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently in the future that then can set us up for success in the next stage of healing, which is learning and growth, to be able to sit down and now, from this place of clarity and understanding, think, what happened? How did I get into that situation? How did that relationship unfold the way that it did? How did my partner certainly contribute to the dynamic that we co-created together? But also, this is hard but so powerful, what was it about the way I was operating that co-created the outcomes that I experienced in this relationship? What do I need to take responsibility for? Not for the purpose of blame and shame and feeling bad, but to be able to say, so here's what I would like to do differently if I was in a relationship again. Here's what this taught me about myself. And now this is... how does this help me grow and develop into the person that I would like to become? And this is a very rich and powerful time for many people to do this work. And then once people have done this work well and are on a growth trajectory, only then can we move into a space where we're really ready to create emotional and psychological freedom from a relationship. Prior to this point, you needed to think about the relationship because there's a lot of unfinished emotional business, personal development work that needs to happen. So we have to keep that door open. But in this stage, it's learning how to close the doors of connection through acquiring different cognitive skills. And then in that space, you have a lot of bandwidth to be thinking in a new way. Who am I? What are my values? Who am I independent of this relationship? I mean, we can't forget in long-term relationships, it really, a big part of our identity can become wrapped up in this, and we can become enmeshed with a personality, preference, values, habits of our partners. So to disentangle that, get clarity around who you are, what you want, and then develop a holistic life plan to attain that in all dimensions, career, social, vocational, hobbies, where you live, what's important to you, your purpose, your path. Part of that for some people, so that's stage eight, part of that for some people may then evolve into loving again. And that would be stage nine.
So let's start talking about stage eight a little bit more.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have a question with is when you start talking about the relationships that you have, it might be looking at, hey, you know what? All my friends are married friends. They know both of us. Maybe it's time I start looking at a different friends group or developing a different friends group. You can still can have some of those relationships, but a different friends group, because your social might be different because your life is different. Is that correct?
Precisely. You hit the nail right on the head. And that's going to look different for different people, depending on their stage of life, their values, their needs.
Okay. So, so that's really interesting, because sometimes people can fall back into the old friends group and they're still dealing with the ex-spouse because the ex-spouse and I have a new relationship and you obviously hate that and go back and forth.
Yes. And to be able to think, you know, is it healthy for me to be spending as much time with these people in this circumstance, and to be thinking about what are the relationships that would help me develop into the person that I am now that would help support the things that are important to me. So for single parents, for example, to create a community with other single parents where there's certainly social needs, but also people who understand what they're going through. And on a practical level, people to build your village, I mean, people who can help with various things versus perhaps somebody who is at a later stage in life and loves to travel. If you've identified that that's something that's important to you, to develop a community of people that you can go adventuring with, that might be really important, but it requires a deep knowledge of the self to create that. Yeah,
that was one of the major questions. So thank you. And then you said the ninth stage was
loving again, if you would like to. And I think it also needs to be okay to not get into a new relationship, and certainly do not get into a new relationship prior to having done these stages of healing successfully, because without that, you can run into problems in a new relationship if you do this prematurely. But in this stage, you're really thinking again, who am I? What have I learned about myself? Who do I need to be? How do I need to show up in order to have a more positive relationship in the future? And it might be choosing a partner that is more fundamentally compatible. It might be setting better boundaries. At end, it might be a recognition of how some of the ways you were behaving with your partner created a dynamic that you might be vulnerable to creating with somebody else again if you're not managing it intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that can go into communication, how we give and receive love, all kinds of stuff. So again, it's very rich and fertile territory. But the problem is that conventional therapy does not recognize any of what I am talking about. If you, as many people do, go to air quote therapy for help with a divorce or healing after heartbreak, you will connect with probably a very loving and compassionate person who is very happy to help you process grief and maybe some of the dark emotions, but who might not have any other knowledge of what I'm talking about right now, who doesn't have a background in coaching and who does not shepherd you through these nine stages sequentially, because that's not what therapists do. And unfortunately, some of what can happen is that because psychotherapists are trained to diagnose and treat mental health conditions, a therapist may pathologize your experience and want to talk about your attachment issues or your depression or anxiety or trauma in your history. history that may or may not be relevant or salient. Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, a lot of times it's not. Anybody going through a divorce is going to have all of these elements. They can be complicated, certainly, by the presence of mental health issues. And if those are there, those need to be addressed. But therapists, because that's what they know how to do.
Okay. So let me recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. Folks, it just means you really need to find somebody who can truly help you, especially you're going through something like this. It's just such a major life change. But with that, I would like to have Lisa just talk a few minutes about what her team does, how they work with people, and how, if you're listening now and you'd like to help, you can get in contact with her.
Thank you so much. And I agree. It's so incredibly important to find a specialist when it comes to personal development and personal issues. I think a myth in our culture is that therapy is like one thing, and that is not true at all. And so at my practice, Growing Self Counseling and Coaching, we don't do clinical mental health. We specialize in growth, love, happiness, and success. So all of the clinicians on my team are either relationship specialists like me, marriage and family therapists, or they are therapists who have postgraduate training and experience in coaching psychology, and they are certified coaches, or they are career specialists, believe it or not. So those are the three domains of our practice. And we also have a subspecialty in divorce and heartbreak recovery. And so in my practice, what I have found is that it can be very helpful to talk one-on-one with a therapist who specializes in heartbreak recovery coaching. We certainly do that. But that's oftentimes not enough to help people through these stages of healing in a really organized way. So what I have developed is a wraparound system that consists of a program that people will move through. So lessons, activities, a lot of guidance and direction around the specific work that needs to be done to move through all of these stages thoroughly and in order. And this is supported by a group coaching component and a support group. So weekly meetings where we're talking about things, sharing with each other, a supportive community that's always available. And then in addition to that, one-on-one sessions with a licensed therapist who specializes in breakup support. And so people could find out more about that on my website, growingself.com. And also, this is a big topic of conversation frequently on my podcast, which is Love, Happiness, and Success. So we'll talk about all dimensions of life, but we do talk a lot about relationship loss and heartbreak recovery.
Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge, your expertise, your guidance. I know our listeners are just loving it and probably can't get enough. That's why you're going to see a few people on your website and connecting with you. So folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with a little more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. We talk about the ins and outs of money. We just had Lisa Marie Bobby here talking about how healing with divorce and the steps you go through. You really want to check this out, especially if you're just showing up now. Go back to the website at savingwithsteve.us and look at episode 241. Now, one of the big things I want to talk about is we just had the Israel. We saw a 12-day war, bum, 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 ceasefire, bum, bum. Now we have a ceasefire that seems to be holding. Hopefully it'll continue to hold. And then everybody's going out with their rhetoric to save face, but nobody cares as long as it's over with, okay? Now, one of the big things here is this. We start seeing what we call the froth is back. It means valuations are once again reviving higher. The S&P 500 is trading at 22 times expected earnings, expected profits in the next 12 months. That's 35% above its long-term average. That means the benchmark is once again, you know, really close there. I think we just saw the setting another high in Wall Street since February. Couple things to understand here. First, this means that the S&P profits, the S&P 500 companies, all 500 profits, would need to rise 30% over the next year. That's based off Bloomberg and the intelligent model. Assuming these prices remain the same for the S&P, and that's just to return the S&P to a fair value. And when I talk about a fair value, we're at 22 times expected profits earnings. The S&P is trading at over 38 times earnings when a good market or fair market is 16. Apart from earnings, the only other thing that can help narrow that gap between it trading, you know, 35% long-term averages on profits is an interest rate cut. This is not impossible, but it's a very, very high bar. The market upswings and new records, the reality is we're just back to where we were in February. The reality is the issues are still the same. These are the things that people aren't seeing underneath. You still have tariffs. We have July 9th for the you know, Liberation 2.0. You have the 10-year treasury that's still stuck. And if the 10-year treasury doesn't change, nothing's changing. And then we have geopolitical bends. The question is, has anything been 100% resolved to make anyone feel we're on solid ground? Folks, now is the time to make intelligent adjustments to successfully navigate through your any market conditions. One of the reasons you've seen little market adjustments with the Iran-Israel war, as well as the U.S. involvement in the bombing, is because most of the hedge funds, pension funds, institutional monies, we're talking families with $50 to $100 million or more, have taken positions of safety and defense more than 3 or 4 months ago. So you haven't seen much fluctuation. Many people believe a defensive position or a move to safety means sitting on cash and missing out on opportunities, when in fact, it means being positioned with a purpose. How are you being defensive with a purpose? The reason why they do this is to protect their lifestyle, their daily living. My question is, is your income in a position, or the way you're invested in a position, to where if the market were to go down or you have this volatility, how would it affect your lifestyle? You're not likely to run out of money, but how would it affect your lifestyle? The question is, how are you making sure, regardless of what is happening today, tomorrow, 10 years from here, 20 years from here, now your life, your income, your lifestyle is good for you, your spouse, and the ones you love? Again, folks, moving to safety or taking a defensive position isn't about sitting in cash and missing out on opportunity. In fact, it's being positioned with a purpose, because there are ways to preservation and growth in even these uncertain times. With that, folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I appreciate you sharing it with your friends, family, and associates. Again, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. They're all dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your life, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. I wish you all a wonderful day. We'll look forward to seeing you and chatting with you next week. With that, I wish you well.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.